Yisrael Friedman.
The topic of today's shiur, Reb Simcha requested, was about gebrochs, and also what should one do if one eats gebrochs and your mother-in-law doesn't. How do you not offend her? So I didn't want to offend Reb Simcha, so I thought I'd speak about it, although I'd prefer to speak about easier topics, not offending your mother-in-law. But first of all, let's speak a bit about the minig of gebrochs. What is this minig about gebrochs? Some people do, some people don't. Where does it come from? How does this all work? So many people think that for some reason this is a chassidische minig. Chassidim don't eat gebrochs, and the litvische do eat gebrochs. But that's actually, although it's not totally wrong, but it's partially wrong. I will explain in a minute. The minig of not eating gebrochs is already mentioned in early achronim. A few hundred years ago, the Knesset HaGdoyle, was one of the early Achroinim, mentions it. The Oyle Shabbos is the first Sefer to bring it down. The Oyle Shabbos, one that's quoted regularly by the Morgan Avraham over 400 years ago, quotes this minig not to eat gebrochs. The reason, says the Knesset HaGdoyle, why one shouldn't eat gebrochs, because when he was speaking about matzah meal, you make matzah meal, you make it into a flour and you bake a cake. And there was a story that somebody, a lady, made a cake out of matzah meal. And the neighbor, she saw her, this other lady making a cake from matzah meal, so she didn't realize, and she went and took regular flour, and she made a chomes dikke cake. Says the Knesset HaGdoyle, this is the reason why we have a minig not to eat gebrochs. As I state in Knesset HaGdoyle, the Pri Chodosh quotes the Knesset HaGdoyle, and he's very unhappy. And he says, because of a one-off incident, because of such a thing is not a reason that there should be a gezeirah that from now on it's forbidden to eat gebrochs, and we don't have the permission on our own accord to come along and introduce and be mechadish naya gezeirahs. Having said that, the Chidur, who was on Chassidish, one of the Sfardish Gedolim, in the Sefer Birke Yosef, that's in Simon Tuf Samach Gimel, quotes this same Yesod from one of the Rishonim, from the Ravon, that the Ravon writes that it's toiv, it's a good idea. He says, ain't a toiv, so it's not a good idea. Ain't a toiv, laso is farfel. It's not a good idea to make farfel from matzahs. It would grind the matzah up and make farfel. Shloyasi gam mikemach. Because you might end up by mistake then doing the same thing with regular flour. The toiv hi lesa ze mipnei ze, says the Ravon, one of the Rishonim. Therefore, it's toiv lesa, one should asa making farfel from matzah flour, mipnei ze, because you might end up doing it from regular flour. Says the Chidor, v'ze smach gudon, this is a very, very strong support. The Knesset HaGdoyle, who he was the one that said you shouldn't eat gebrochs because you come to make a cake from matzah meal, you might end up making from regular flour, says the Chidur, I found this already written in one of the Rishonim in the Ravon. So we have already a makor, one of the Rishonim, and this is the Knesset HaGdoyle and the Chidur. However, says the Chidur, mi gamma ravon baderech toiv koma. It says it's a good idea not to do it. It doesn't say it's forbidden. I do the toiv, a good idea. The Pri Chodosh, as I said, is very unhappy with this. That's not a reason we can't institute our own Naya Gezeiros. So there's a different reason, besides the reason the Knesset HaGdoyle, why there was a well-established minig not to eat gebrochs. And it's actually quoted in the Mishneh Berurah, in Simon Tuf Nin Ches. Writes the Mishneh Berurah the following words. Yesh anshe ma'ase, there are people, shemachmirim al atzmom, ve'ein shoyrim, they don't soak, ve'ein mevashlim matzis bepesach, and they don't boil matzis on Pesach. Why? Mechashash, shema nisha ma'at kemach besoich ha-matzis mibifnim. Perhaps there is inside the matzah, there's a little bit of flour which wasn't properly kneaded. And therefore, v'al yedei hashriya, now you're going to soak it or you're going to boil it, yischamit, it's going to become chomitz. So this is a minik which is quoted in the Mishneh Berurah. Karev on the Mishneh Berurah, v'ayim b'shar tshiva simen tof samach, dimitzad adin ein luchish lezeh. As far as the halacha goes, you don't have to worry. It's a very, very far-fetched problem. The achzika isira loy machzikin. And we don't have to worry for such a chashash. Especially nowadays that we make thin matzahs, so it's not really shaykh, it's going to be inside still some dough left over. Somebody who does keep this chimra, it's not a weird thing that Shadhepsa is doing a midas shtis or something like that. As we state in the Mishnah Berurah. So because of this, this is why the Welt Be'etzem is Mekel, because the Shari Shiva already speaks about it, and he says the Chashash was that perhaps inside the dough there's some unbaked bit of flour, and that now when you soak it or you boil it again, it could somehow become Chometz. But we don't have to be Choshish as a Shari Shiva, nowadays we make thin matzahs. Comes along the Shulchan Aruch Harav, and he says something which... According to what he says, this chashash does still apply nowadays. This is not actually in the Shulchan Aruch Rav. There's a few Shas and Shivas at the end of his Sefer. And this is in Shas and Shiva Simon Vov. He writes as follows. Einaini royis matzis harbe. We see nowadays many matzis. Shemutzi behem kemach ma'at nire la'ayin acha huafia. That even after they've been baked, you can see externally, on the outside of the matzah, bit of flour, on the outside of the matzah. And you can't dispute this. This is something which you can see. You'll ask me, why is this not spoken about at all in the poskim? This doesn't happen only in a dough which hasn't been kneaded properly. Now, olden times, they used to knead the dough properly. When did this stop? The last 20 years or so, the last 20 years become a new minute when we bake the matzahs. Everyone quickly, you know, one's quickly rolling it, kneading it, pass it from one to the other, straight into the oven and straight out. They don't longer anymore knead the matzahs so carefully as they used to. And then he carries on. This is on the outside. So it comes out now as follows. The Shari Shiva said the problem of Gebrochs was that we are worried that perhaps there was some dough left inside the matzah. However, says the Shari Shiva, that we don't have to worry about, because that was in the olden times, used to make thick matzahs. You could have matzah, you could have dough inside the matzah. Now, because we make thin matzahs, doesn't exist this chashash. Says the Shulchan Aruch Rav, no, I'm worried about dafka because we make thin matzahs. Because we're making thin matzahs, I'm worried now not about the flour inside the matzah, I'm worried about the flour on the outside of the matzah. And because we're making thin matzahs, and therefore everything goes much quicker than it used to go once upon a time, the last 20 years or so, therefore there's now a new chashash which the Shari Shiva never spoke about. He spoke about only about flour inside the matzah. I'm worried about flour outside the matzah. And this flour, says the Shulchan Aruch Rav, you can see it yourself. You take your finger and you run down the matzah, you'll see you'll get a white residue on your finger. This is the leftover of the flour. And this flour, says the Shulchan Aruch Rav, if you now boil it or you soak it, it might possibly ending up becoming chometz. However, finish off the Shulchan Aruch Rav, mikamukim em limchos bahamoyin om hamakilim, kimen sheshlem al mashis moichi. There is to be what to be makel. This is, again, even according to the Shulchan Aruch Rav, only a chimer. So therefore, what has emerged is, as the Welt Adungenim and Visa State and Sharet Shiva, that the Chashash is no longer applicable. And as always, Shtek the Paskin in the Mishnah Berurah. The Shulchan Aruch Rav disputes this, and he says, no, other Rabbah, I've got a new Chashash which the Sharet Shiva never spoke about. So what emerges is, as the Litvish Welt has Nimshach after the Sharet Shiva, and as always, Mishnah Berurah, they're no Makpid. However, the Chassidish Welt, Be'etzim is Gavon, Nimshach after Shulchan Aruch, but it isn't an ironclad rule. Therefore, we find that the Chofetz Chaim's son, Reb Leib, writes that his father, the Chofetz Chaim, was takemakpid not to eat gebrochs the whole of Pesach. The Chofetz Chaim alone, although he writes here in Mishnah Berurah that you're allowed to, but he himself, the Chofetz Chaim, didn't used to eat gebrots. Similarly, it's brought down from the Maharamash, one of the Gedolei Achroin, the time of Chasam Soifim, and Hugim Maharamash, that he also didn't used to eat gebrots. The Yesod V'Shoy Shavoid, Shah Test, the end of Perek Zayin, writes, Nohagi Yereim V'Shleimim, She'ein Oichle Matzah Shabua Leh Mayim Acha Afiyusa, that it's the correct to be makpid that one shouldn't eat matzah if water has come onto it after it's been baked. So this state in Yesod V'Shoy Shavoida, and Azoi Vet Gebrengt, as the stipler was also makpid. So you see, there were Litvisha Gedoilim who were also makpid. Interesting to note is it's brought down that the Baal Shem Tov himself was not makpid on Gebrox. Now, how can this be? So the answer is as follows. You look in this Charlotte Shiva from the Shulchan Aruch Rav, which was written, we don't know exactly when it was written, but he mentions that his father, and he writes, Zichron Levruch, it was written after his father was Nifta. And his father was Nifta in the year Tuf Kif Nimbeis, which means in the year after 1792. So sometime after this, the Shulchan Aruch Rav wrote this Shiva. And he writes there, in this Shiva, written after 1792, that the last 20 years or so has come this new minute that we make thin matzahs rather than the thicker matzahs. So therefore the Baal Shem Tov had been nifter 32 years earlier when he was alive. There wasn't yet this new problem which the Shulchan Aruch Rav was speaking about. So therefore, the Baal Shem Tov was brought down, wasn't makpid about gebrox, and this minig of Hasidim not eating gebrox only started after the Baal Shem Tov's patira, started in the time of the Mezvit Shemagid. So this basically is the basic yusod about gebrox, whether we are choshish, perhaps could it become chometz or not chometz. Now the shear was, what is somebody supposed to do if he has the minig that he's makpid, his mesorah's family mesorah not to eat gebrox, and in his shver's family they do eat gebrox. So he's in a very difficult situation. He's going to his in-laws for Pesach and they're eating gebrox. Now what does he do? So in the Sefer Halicha Shloimeh is quoted B'shem Reb Shloimeh Zalman Oyebach, that Reb Shloimeh Zalman said that this idea that a person can just change his family minig and he starts eating gebrox, by him it was Bechlanish Kenduva Pushit, and he said this goes into the Yisod of Al Titash Torah Mechel, that every person has got to keep their family Mesorah, their family minhag, and he was very, very reluctant to allow somebody to change their minhag. However, on occasion he did allow, such as for family reasons. I suppose this would be the type of reason. But again, even then, the writer wasn't just every single person. There's a chilik if a person is going on a one-off for Pesach to his in-laws, or a person's going year after year after year, and he knows this is how it's going to be. And if somebody did want to be Mashane's minig, so Reb Shlomo Zalman would insist, and Azoi bring this in the Chazon Ish, that one would have to make Haturas Nedorim. So it's not so straightforward for a person to go along to the in-laws and just say, I'm going to eat there. When they speak about kashrus the whole year round, I would presume would say to somebody, if you trust your in-laws enough to marry their daughter, and that they'd be mechanech your wife properly, I would presume that you would trust them as well in as far as the kashrus goes. So a younger man would sit by his in-laws and say, I'm sorry, I don't trust your kashrus, would be a bit of an insult. But here, when we speak about gebrots, nothing got to do with trusting the kashrus. Just my family, minig mesorah, is we don't eat it, and yours is that you do. So this chas v'shulem, an insult or a bezoin anyway. Everyone has to keep their mesorah, how they act from back home. So therefore, be'etzim, really, a person should know it's correct, even when he's by his in-laws, to keep on your family minig. If for some reason one is unable to, so then there are already heterim. There's a Moedika letter which Reb Yankele, the Peshevolsky Rebbe, writes as follows. He wrote a Michtav Hadrucha to a Chusim before his Chasna, and he writes him the following lines. Nothing got to do with Pesach, he just brings it in. Rotzisi Lichtav Lechol Chusim Yakiri Beis Ogimul Masius Marabasein HaGadoshim. I want to write to you, says Reb Yankele, two or three stories from our Rebbes, in order that you should know that Emestika Chasidus means to be Mekayim B'chol Dochecho. In every situation, a person has to ask himself, what is the Rabbi Shlolem asking of me now, and how should I now serve the Rabbi Shlolem? And he carries on and he says, Kilif Umim, sometimes Udem oise eise dove minig shel chassidus. A person does a minig, a dove shel chassidus, a chimra, and he thinks he's chapping heise maluchim, v'al deze oive cholile mitzis asei min atoire. He can be oive mitzis asei. Rabbi Yangel carries on, he says, I'll give you an example. I heard from Ashve, Rabbi Tzikol, Shirabayni agudul sa shul mi bells, he ate Pesach in one bowl together with his mother. V'shokha, and she forgot, v'hinichu chatichos matzah bekar shul roita. By mistake, the Eshter Belzeruf, his mother, went and she put pieces of matzah into the boiling hot chicken soup. Some people will come along and say, oh, two suggestions, mamish chumitz gummit, oh, throw it out, a disaster. Give his mother off for telling off as well, how dare she do that, to spoil the whole Yom Tov. What did the Sar Shulam do, the Eshter Belzeruf? All he did was he pushed away the matzah with the spoon, v'ochal haroitev. Said Rabbi Yankele, hagam shechassidim ein oichlim bepesach roitev shriyeh matzah. Hagam chassidim are very makbid me'esrish gebroks of Pesach. Mikalmukim ochal rabbeini shloi ligroim tsa le'imoi. The Belzeruf had better verstanden, and he understood, I've got here on the scale, I've got a choice. Either I can do the chimra of gebroks, or I can be over on Kibbud Eim. Which of the two is it? So he realized that Kibbud Eim is more important than the Gebrot. So he carried on eating the chicken soup and he didn't say anything to his mother. So this is a letter which Rabbi Yankele writes. So again, if a person's in a situation where he sees his mother-in-law is going to be really take it personally, although she shouldn't, but if she's going to, for whatever reason, I don't know why, she takes it personally that the item is not tasting her knaidlach, and because of that she feels it's a gefelach, a pegia. So this would be this type of story. If the mother-in-law doesn't take it so personally, another rabbi would be correct that she should understand to be machabed her son-in-law to allow him to be knowing how he saw from his parents' home, then avada, he shouldn't be eating gebrokses. Oh, this is also a grosser pela. Well, because if you're worried for this chashash of gebroks, be'etzem, that if this is your problem, that the matzah can become gebroks and can become chometz, so therefore the chicken soup also, you shouldn't really be allowed to eat. But a mamash on this nikida, the Sforum quote a sefer, Minchas Yosef on Hilchas Shechita, who he comes along and he asks Pakadis Kasha, and he says a riziger chiddush, that when a person doesn't eat a gewisse machel because of a chimra, for example, behema shahoyre b'chocham, if you don't eat flesh, only if it's glatkusha, so he writes then, he rings a raif and a ravid, that this yisod only applies to the actual chatichas bosa. But the chicken soup itself, in which the piece of meat is, you can allow to eat it. If you got this chimra, you don't eat this machel, is die alone the dinner. Enough, you're not eating this thing, but to eat the food around it. So he says, this is the reason why, although the food, the knaidl itself, one doesn't eat because it's gebrok, but the chicken soup, you can eat. It's a grosser chiddush. Oh, the kelim is another whole shmiz. There were some gedolim who attack her, the only makbid not to eat the actual gebroks, but they didn't worry about the kelim. The others who were makbid even about the kelim. It's interesting to note, Lemushel, again, about Legaba Orchim. There were gedolim who, when they had Orchim, they had no problem. I don't eat gebroks, but I allowed the Orchim to eat gebroks. It's brought down from the Ab Taruf, that the Ab Taruf would allow Orchim, Aniyim, and Ketanim to eat gebroks, and he would supply for them extra kelim there around his table. The Rebbeleib, the son of the Chofetz Chaim, writes that his father didn't eat gebroks, and one year he had a pesachush of the oirech, and lechvoy the oirech, the Chofetz Chaim ot gegessen mit eim gebroks achroin shel Pesach. So you see from there in Shantazach is mashma that he only ate achron shel Pesach because he had this oirech. Now most people have this minig not to eat gebroks. There are some taka don't eat gebroks even achron shel Pesach. But most people who have this minig is achron shel Pesach, they're making to do eat gebroks. And from this you see that the Chofetz Chaim took this minig so seriously that even achron shel Pesach he didn't eat gebroks, only because there was this oirech. And it's also mashma that the rest of Pesach, he also didn't allow the oirech to eat gebroks. It was only achron shel Pesach. He had this oirech, not gemacht for ein gebroks. But it's interesting. So you see how seriously the Chofetz Chaim actually took this minig. He did allow his family and his children to eat gebroks, but he himself didn't eat gebroks at all. Looked like, even achron shel Pesach, only the covered the oirech. So he ate together with him. One final story I saw brought down from one of the great chassidish rebbes, Rabbi Yitzchak Nishchiza, who kol yomov he was taka makpid not to eat gebroks, But Sof Yomav, I suppose his teeth weren't in such good condition, so he wasn't able at all to eat the matzah at all. So the only way he did matzah was I had to put it in, I had to soak it to make it soft. And he would then, by his tish, he would give out his shirayim to the chassidim, although only he had the head to not eat gebrotzos. His teeth weren't working, but he would give out the shirayim to the chassidim, and all the chassidim would take the shirayim from their Rebbe. It's again, to San Tzach, you see, as I understood these chassidim, if the Rebbe's eating it, we can eat it as well. And as I stayed off in the Chofetz Chaim, somebody asked the Chofetz Chaim, tell me, why don't you eat gebrokz? The Vilna Gaon used to eat gebrokz. And said the Chofetz Chaim, if I would have the matzahs of the Vilna Gaon, I would eat them as well. So you see, Madavisin, when yes and when not.